WILL-AM. Morning of Classical Music begins on WILL-FM 90.9. And the next segment of Morning Edition. No market report this morning. We go back to Morning Edition, and David Green talks to Liza Mundy about her article, The Daddy Track, in the Atlantic magazine. She writes about how women benefit when men take paternity leave. In the forecast today, we're expecting sunny skies, the high around 17 degrees, wind chills below up to 15 degrees below. Mostly sunny tomorrow with a 50% chance of snow. Cloudy skies, then partly sunny in the afternoon, a high of 32 degrees tonight, a low of 15 degrees with snow possible. Looking ahead to tomorrow night, mostly cloudy skies, scattered flurries, the low 20 degrees. Mostly sunny Thursday with a high of 28 degrees. Still very chilly out, 5 degrees in Danville. 4 in Decatur, 4 at Willard Airport, 5 now on Friends Plaza. It's Morning Edition on WILL. I'm Jeff Bossert at 8:51.
NPR's business news begins with the legal bullseye on Target. Okay, more than a dozen customers have now filed lawsuits against the retail giant. This is after Target security was breached and information from nearly 40 million credit and debit cards was stolen. NPR's Sonari Glinton reports that the company is in full defense mode.
Target has offered credit monitoring to its consumers. It's taken to every social medium to get its story out. That's while the first lawsuits have begun to pour in. Meanwhile, George Jepson, Connecticut's attorney general, says he wants answers.
We're curious as to whether the breach occurred because of Target's negligence or were they simply exposed to an especially sophisticated set of hackers.
Several state attorneys general are themselves looking into the exact cause of the breach.
If you went into Target and you were using cash and you routinely were held up at the checkout and the store did nothing about it, you wouldn't shop there anymore, right?
Martha Coakley is the Massachusetts Attorney General. She says the Target breach leads to bigger questions.
Are there other technologies available that would make it safer and more secure at a reasonable cost for consumers when they are using their cards in any store across the Commonwealth or the country?
Sonari Glinton, NPR News.
Something caught our eye in the current issue of The Atlantic. Liza Mundy writes this: paternity leave makes men more involved at home, women more involved at work, and workplaces friendlier for all parents. It turns out the stigma associated with men who take extended leave when a baby is born is disappearing in some places. And Liza Mundy, thanks for coming on the program. We appreciate the time.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So explain to us this notion, if you can. How exactly does paternity leave for new dads actually benefit women in the workplace?
The way that it benefits women in the workplace is it gets men more invested in the household from the get-go. Studies have shown that it sort of recalibrates the division of labor at what one economist has called a crucial time of household renegotiation. It has surprising ripple effects further down the road, particularly with regard to routine chores that have to be done every day or every night, and therefore frees up women to work longer hours.
Well, and we don't want to make too much of this since it's early on in the research, but you suggest that there could be some real implications. I mean, the countries offering more paternity leave, allowing women to play larger roles in companies over time because they have some more time, I mean, that typically benefits a country's economy when women are playing bigger roles in companies.
It does. I mean, the latest global gender gap report shows that, you know, countries with the strongest economies are the countries that have found ways to keep women tethered to the workplace when they become mothers. We're in a situation now where women, in many cases, are better educated than men. And so it is imperative for countries and economies to find ways to keep these highly productive women in the workplace. And Scandinavian countries that have instituted all sorts of interesting policies to encourage men to take leave, they have found that it is a very successful way of keeping women in the workplace. enabling women to be more likely to work full time.
And, you know, you bring up Scandinavian countries. A really interesting part of your piece is they seem to be doing some self-reflecting right now, because these are countries, some of them at least, that offered women very long maternity leaves, maybe up to a year. And that's appearing that that might have been something that was not so helpful to women.
Right. So if your goal is to keep women in the workplace, then it is possible to offer women too much maternity leave. And when mothers can take a year or even 2 years, what seems to happen is that managers may be less likely to hire them into senior positions. Women may sort of shunt themselves into lower paying sectors of the workplace. So it's generally accepted now by labor economists that too long of a maternity leave is actually a barrier to gender equity and to pay equity in the workplace.
Well, in this country, Liza Mundy, at some states that you mentioned in your story, California, New Jersey, Rhode Island, are offering longer paid leave for both mothers and fathers. Is this a growing trend in the U.S.?
Other states are looking at this as a policy. What they have found is that it's not a job killer. It businesses were a little bit worried about it at first when California instituted this. What's happening is more and more white-collar workplaces, and Silicon Valley has been a leader in this, are offering paid paternity leave as a perk to its highly desirable, you know, workforce as sort of one more benefit and inducement in the competition for talent. And so that's already happening in some private companies. But what these state policies do is they spread it out so that if you're not in a white-collar workplace, you'll still qualify. So for my piece, I interviewed men who are bartenders, who are firefighters, a man who works for a roofing company, and they were so pleased to be able to take paternity leave, and they were planning to use it, you know, to do the housework and to bond with their children and to help their wives and to take care of their wives. So the beauty of the state policies is that they're more egalitarian in the sense that more men in different kinds of fields and industries and jobs can also benefit from parental leave.
Liza, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
Liza Mundy is a program director at the New America Foundation, and her article appears in the current issue of The Atlantic. Okay, our last word in business today, what else? Reindeer, from Dasher to Prancer, Vixen to Cupid, and of course Rudolph. All of Santa's reindeer have gotten the green light from the Agriculture Department to enter U.S. territory. It's very important. The USDA granted, quote, Mr. S. Claus a special livestock permit. And in the spirit of Christmas, the department even waived the normal application fees and disease testing requirement for his reindeer. But not to worry, USDA port personnel will disinfect Santa's wooden sleigh before entry. Hope that doesn't hold him up too much. That's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Inada, maker of the Dream Wave massage chair with body scanning technology and shiatsu point detection. Learn more at dreamwavechair.com. From Newman's Own Foundation, giving all profits from Newman's Own to charity and pursuing the common good for over 30 years. And from the Weinstein Company, with August Osage County, starring Meryl Streep and Julia Roberts, in select cities December 27th, everywhere January 10th. This is NPR.
It's Festivo Alt Latino from NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
This time of the year, there's holiday music everywhere, and while we love traditional songs, it would be fun to hear something different.
It's our holiday gift to you, a concert with legendary Latin alternative bands Bajo Fondo, Molotov, and Café Tacuba.
It's Festivo Alt Latino.
Sunday afternoon at 1 on AM 580.
Sunny skies around Champaign-Urbana, but we're still in the single digits right now. The high 17 today, wind chills 5 to 15 below, mostly cloudy tonight with a chance of snow after midnight. The low 15 degrees tomorrow, cloudy with a chance of snow in the mornings. Partly sunny in the afternoon, the high 32. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a chance of snow. Flurries expected, the low 20. Now 6 degrees in Danville, 5 in Decatur, and 6 on Friends Plaza. This is Illinois Public Media, WLL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3, Urbana. It's 9 o'clock.
BBC World Service. There's been a lot of this in Africa this year. Government-backed troops fighting Islamist militants. Mali, Somalia, and Nigeria have seen the worst of it. I'm Mark Doyle, and I've been to all these countries. Now I'm going to bring their stories together and trace the lines in the sand.
You only need a very small number to believe that extreme interpretation of the Quran, and you've got a problem.
Africa's Islamists have different names. Al-Shabaab, Boko Haram. Are they connected?
It was initially personal links. We know that some fighters of Boko Haram have been trained in Somalia by the Shabaab. Our worry is to see that more structured now.
Lines in the Sand starts in 5 minutes.